Blog Talk Radio.
Book, wishing you all a happy Thanksgiving. May you be with all the ones you love. My definition of hell is you'll be with all the ones you hate, and heaven is you'll be with all the ones you love. Anyway, what are we going to do? Everybody is playing this a sensitive card. You got to be careful what you say to this person and that person, that this person, you know, is Indian. You can't wish them a Merry Christmas. You have to wait for their holiday and say Happy Diwali. Yet I got Arabs in the Middle East that send me Christmas cards. And I send them Eid Mubarak cards. So, you know, it's the communists who make the rules, and it's the Americans who play the fools. So I just wanted to let you know there is one element of people that never get any attention and they get any respect. And I think that people should start to pay attention to their needs and what they appreciate. So I did a little blog, a little short one. It says, learn to identify Christians and greet them with respect. Happy Holidays is an insult to Christians. Did you see that season's greeting sign up there in Ferguson? Maybe if they had a cross with Christ on it, maybe they wouldn't be as violent. Maybe they would only burn 10 cop cars. Happy Holidays is an insult to Christians. If you're not sure if a person's a Christian or not, ask. They will gladly tell you. Many wear crosses, and that is a godly giveaway. but double-check the big cross wrappers. They may be the devil in disguise. Beware of people named Madonna and Lords or Moonblood. Once you have identified the greetee, then you can say Merry Christmas or Happy Holy Days. Never say a season's greetings unless you are prepared for mating season. Put that seasoned trout in your creel and smoke it. Thank you, my dear, D-E-E-R. That's another season, deer season, you know. Attention, business people. Do not offend Christians with happy holidays solely on your website. I know a guy who is looking to lease equipment, a lot of equipment, over $100,000 per unit, and he went to a website that said happy holidays, and he replied, two words, Merry Christmas, and he went to another website. So be careful who you alienate. So learn to identify the people of the cross before you hurt their feelings with happy holidays. And by the which way, can you point me in the direction, which way are the mangers? That's another hint, by the way. Next time a communist says a happy holidays, respond with, oh, come now, let us adore him. Oh, look, a star of wonder. I give you a tune, and then when I come back, I'm going to read you a little dissertation about street bullies. So, let's see. We'll do a quick Regina Caeli. That will get us in the Christmas spirit. He said,
Regina Caeli.
Quick, wasn't it? Okay, let's want to talk about street bullies and communists, the new military. Remember Obama said he was going to have his army, his own army, his personal army? That's, you've seen it. They're up in Ferguson right now. How sad that a deceased community bully was used by a community organizer to show the world America is a pigsty. Ghettos are now zoos. The hope and change communist has turned America into no hope and chump change. The tab for this communist uprising and the executive law breaking, creating a new world order on the border, must be paid by you and me. As you see everything burning, we're getting the tab. I feel sorry for those merchants. My guess is the insurance company canceled their insurance a long time ago. As soon as they seen Eric Holder and Al Sharpton working up the natives. Yep. The sooner we get to January 6th, the safer the country will be. No demo camo should be allowed to hold office again until the country gets its colors back, red, white, and blue. Communist universities decaying the spirit of America should be identified and starved of in God We Trust money. Obama the imposter must not be allowed to destroy the U.S. military. Tomorrow we thank the boss of the galaxies for all the gifts he has given us. We look to our children and their children and pass on the great spirit that kept us free. We are Americans. And like Ben Franklin said, if we don't hang together, surely we will all hang separately. Let us live by the 10 simple rules that God gave to Moses. Do not let the demo camos change thou shalt not to thou shall. And remember our vets who pay the highest price as their families face an empty chair across the dining room table. So, we give a little tribute to the Latino people. many of whose names are on the walls of victory in Washington, D.C.
Aquí está la reina de salsa, Celia Cruz.
Como ser dueña del universo, poder expresar con mi voz lo que llevo por dentro, hacerles a ustedes sentir sensaciones grandiosas y en cada nota conjugar cantando muchas cosas. Y cuando la magia de algún don invade poco a poco el corazón, vuelvo con su ritmo sabroso y el sentimiento. Siento lo por el compás, que bien me siento. ¡Ah!
This on one of the blog sites, the Tea Party blog sites. Somebody had made a copy of the Communist Control Act of 1954. You know, 1954, that's 9 years after the end of World War II. You could say, starting in 1950, that would be 5 years after the end of World War II, the savvy generation, the generation that saw the horrors of war, and saw how countries attacked other countries and seized land from other countries and divided it and sucked it up into, say, the Soviet satellite nations. A lot of countries lost their individuality and their freedom. And a lot of them were sucked up by the communists, including a portion of Berlin. And when I say the communists, at that time it's the Soviets, which is still today. The Soviet Union is still the Soviet Union. They just changed the flag. The hammer and sickle will be back when it's showtime. So the Communist Control Act of 1954, an act to outlaw the Communist Party, to prohibit members of communist organizations from serving in certain representative capacities and for other purposes, being enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives in 1954. These are the guys that put under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. So they were very serious about the safety of the United States, knowing what happens to countries that fall apart, fall under the divide and conquer boot. The Congress hereby finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. You hear that? Okay, under the guise of being a political party, their goal is to overthrow the government of the United States. It constitutes an authoritarian dictatorship within a republic, demanding for itself the rights and privileges accorded to political parties, but denying to all others the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. That's happening right now under your nose. Unlike political parties, which evolve their policies and programs through public means by the reconciliation of a wide variety of individual views and submit those policies and programs to the electorate at large for approval or disapproval, the policies and programs of the Communist Party are secretly prescribed for it by the foreign leaders of the world communist movement. Its members have no part in determining its goals and are not permitted to voice dissent to party objectives. Unlike members of political parties, members of the Communist Party are recruited for indoctrination with respect to its objectives and methods, and are organized, instructed, and disciplined to carry into action slavishly, the assignment given them by their hierarchical chieftains. Unlike political parties, the Communist Party acknowledges no constitutional or statutory limitations upon its conduct or upon that of its members. The Communist Party is relatively small numerically and gives a scant indication of capacity ever to attain its ends by lawful political means. The peril inherent in its operation arises not from its members, but from its failure to acknowledge any limitation as to the nature of its activities and its dedication to the proposition that the present constitutional government of the United States ultimately must be brought to ruin by any available means. Executive order allowing 5 million illegal invaders the right to come in and sit at your dinner table and demand all the potatoes, including resort to force and violence, like in Ferguson. Holding that doctrine, its role as the agency of the hostile foreign power renders its existence a clear, present, and continuing danger to the security of the United States and the universities of the United States, which are now hotbeds of communism. It is the means whereby individuals are seduced into service, sexually seduced, you could put in there, right, of the world communist movement, trained to do its bidding and directed and controlled in the conspiratorial performance of their revolutionary services. Therefore, the Communist Party should be outlawed. There you go. That's what Congress thought in 54. Look at the inroads. The Communist Party is now the Democrat Party. The Rhino Party is now the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. The Rhino Party is now the Democrat Party. Did you hear about this Marine dad that got banned from school property? Here's an example of how communism works. The Thomas More Law Center, that's a Catholic law center, has announced its representation of John Kevin Wood and his wife Melissa in their battle with La Plata High School in Maryland over the Islamic indoctrination of their 11th grade daughter in her world history class. The daughter was required to complete assignments where she had to affirm that there is no God but Allah and other five pillars of Islam. The case gained a national attention when the school banned John Wood from entering school property after he objected to the religion of Islam being taught in his daughter's history class and demanded that she be given an alternative assignment. The school refused. Wood, a former Marine who served in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and lost friends in that action, saw firsthand the destruction caused in the name of Allah and that Islam is not a religion of peace, and he would not budge from his position, which as an American he has every right to do. And he also has control over the spiritual welfare of his daughter. The Thomas More Law Center is a national public interest law firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the senior trial counsel, Erin Mersino, and Maryland attorney, Michael F. Smith, represent the Wood family. Yesterday, they filed a request for records relating to the case under Maryland's Public Information Act. On October 22, 2014, John Wood discovered that his daughter was being forced to repeat religious tenets of Islam as part of her world history class assignment. She was required to write how the Prophet Muhammad was visited by the angel Gabriel and preached there that there is only one true God who is Allah. The assignment made her write that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah and that the Quran is holy text. The assignment required her to affirm that Allah is the same God that is worshipped in Christianity and Judaism. And you know what? I read a comment by a Muslim who said Allah never had a son. So, this is all propaganda, man. And the Quran is the word of Allah revealed to Muhammad in the same way that Jews and Christians believed the Torah and the Gospels were revealed to Moses and the New Testament writers. The assignment also forced the young women, such as Wood's daughter, to fill in the following sentences. Men are the managers of the affairs of women, and righteous women are therefore obedient. When John Wood discovered the Islamic propaganda and indoctrination, he was rightfully outraged. And that evening, unsuccessfully tried to contact the school by phone to voice his objections. Wood witnessed firsthand the destruction in the name of Allah and knows Islam is not a religion of peace. He served in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and lost friends. On 911, Wood responded as a firefighter to the smoldering Pentagon. He refused to allow La Plata High School to subject his daughter to Islamic indoctrination, despite the threatened academic consequences. The next day, October 23rd, Wood had a phone conversation with the vice principal, and he reiterated his objections to his daughter being indoctrinated into the religion of Islam. He asked how the religion of Islam could be taught in schools when schools are prohibited from teaching the religion of Christianity. The following day, he spoke to the high school principal. The principal refused to allow an alternative assignment and threatened that if his daughter, a high school junior with college hopes, did not complete the religious assignment on Islam, she would receive a failing grade. Commenting on the case, Richard Thompson, chief counsel, stated, adding insult to injury in an arrogant and unnecessary display of power, La Pata's principal issued a written no trespass notice, which denied this former Marine who stood in harm's way defending our country, including the principal and her staff, any access to school grounds. The school's action not only dishonored John Wood's service, but the service of all men and women in our armed forces who defend our nation from Islamic violence. True to his Marine training, Wood stood his ground. He did not retreat. Yes, his daughter has received a failing grade in her world history class, but the story is not over. So they're going to court over it. And you know what it is? Other people will give in because they don't have the money to fight back. So, we'll do a little tantum ergo, man.
Tantum ergo, sacramentum.
I read the results of a survey. I think it was an NBC survey that said that Democrats are twice as religious as Tea Party people. And the reason they cited for it is because the Demo Camos worship the double cross. Yeah. I got a picture of Bo Birdcall. He's Obama's next Secretary of Defense choice. And when he deserted his post and left his band of brothers, he was a private. And when Obama paid money plus five Taliban kingpins to get him back, Obama promoted him to sergeant. And I have a picture of him, and he's eating Rice Krispies in the Haqqani Network camp, and he's wearing a little red hat on the top of his head. And, of course, he told everybody, he was captured and tortured. They made me eat Rice Krispies without the bananas. So he's got this little red hat on, and I hear that this little red hat is worn by all the Democrats in secret when they go to their secret meetings, when they're caucus. Yeah, but if they don't get that one, Obama has five other candidates. Would you like to hear the other five candidates for Secretary of Defense? Khairullah Kerkawa. He was the governor of Herat. He was traded for Bo Birdcall. Then there's also Narullah Nuri. He's the governor of Balkh province. Two provinces. Balkh is only one of them. And he was traded for Bo Birdcall. And then there's Abdul Haq Wasiq. He's the head of the Taliban intelligence. And he's wanted for Human Rights Watch violations. Obama gave him back to the war effort. And there's Mohammed Abi Omeri, and he's the head of Taliban Communications. And then he also gave them Mohammed Fazl. He's the Minister of Defense, and he likes to kill Shia. And then there's Mohammed Nabi. He's the head of Taliban Security, and he's the guy that penetrated the CIA and killed CIA members. So those are some of the candidates that Obama wants to put up for Secretary of Defense. It's not true, but I was just playing Democrat. And you know what? Speaking of Democrats, they all lie, and Obama is the biggest liar of all. Nobody, little kids don't believe when he talks. All our troops in the country are in harm's way. So, when Obama began his purge, his Stalinist purge of the U.S. military, he began with high-ranking officers. And the first one he got was who? Rolling Stone interviewed General McChrystal. Wouldn't it be nice if Obama brought him back and said, look, I was wrong about you. I'm wrong about the military. I don't want to destroy you guys anymore. Why don't you become my Secretary of Defense and get me back my image? You think he would do that? You think he would eat humble pie? I read the blogs on McChrystal. About a year ago, I suggested he run for president. So here's what I said. I read the blogs on McChrystal. I wish I had read more military vets' opinions. There weren't too many vets giving an opinion on this blog site that I saw. It seems that there was only one vet voice, and everybody, all of the lefties, or the communists as I call them, they played the Pat Tillman card. Oh, he covered up the Pat Tillman shooting with a friendly fire. He lied. He lied to us. Not like your president, man, who tells you he's an American citizen. Yeah, no, he is an American citizen. He told me so. I wish I had read more military vets' opinions. There only seems to be one vet voice. The Pat Tillman cover-up, in my opinion, was justified to save a family's pain. If you never served under fire, you're not qualified to judge friendly fire accidents. Those who say no more general presidents, what do they say about draft-dodging presidents, bribe-takers, and lying dopers? We are living in a country that never sees disaster on the horizon. The next president may be picking up the pieces of a nuclear war. Those who say, I can't believe what just happened, said it once before on 9-1-1. I think we're going to go through the next 5 years. If you think we're going to go through the next 5 years woundless, you ain't seen nothing yet. I believe Stanley McChrystal is a liberal. And I wondered why he went on John the Monkey Stewart show to sell his book and not Fox. I mean, nobody sells more books than O'Reilly. And nobody sells more books than Fox, which sells a lot of books. And why he didn't go on there to sell his book, I'll never know. But I'm looking at a crisis like ISIS and many military bases taking simultaneous nuke hits at the same time, including our capital, not to mention being gridless. There will be no time to bury individuals, only mass graves. Not to mention fifth column terror throughout the land. Our national Tet offensive. We could have one. At that time, I don't want a commander-in-chief with a pre-written speech on how we are the strongest nation on the face of the earth. I want a general who can pick up the pieces in 10 minutes and fight back. Patton said twice in his lifetime he saw our country come back from a first strike. He doubted that with today's weapons and speed, we could do it a third time. I will take my chances with McChrystal. In a fire, I will take my chances with a fireman. God and country are forever. And of course, if Obama can't get anybody to take the job, he could always borrow the president of NBC to become Secretary of Defense. That's Al Sharpton. Yeah, he'll stage a racial incident with the Russians. Unbelievable. Okay, so being that we're coming up on Thanksgiving, let's give thanks. My boy Jimmy from Brooklyn was on Mark Levin's show yesterday talking about the communist infiltration of Islam and communist infiltration of the Catholic Church under the direction of Antonio Gramsci, who designed the master plan for corruption from within. Isn't that wonderful? Dear fellow conservative, we know it's only a matter of time before evidence emerges proving Eric Holder's guilt. When a federal judge ordered the Department of Justice to hand over its Fast and Furious documents, I knew we were bound to uncover proof of wrongdoing, and that's what happened. This all started when CBS News aired a damning report proving that Eric Holder had lied to Congress about the DOJ ATF, a failed gunwalking operation called Fast and Furious. In my opinion, what he did was he armed the narco-terrorists to overthrow the Mexican government, who now probably is in cahoots with the narco-terrorists because they're missing about 51 school kids down there that were arrested by the police and turned over to narco-terrorists for execution and burial. And so that president of Mexico has got blood on his hands and he's dirty. And I also believe that Sergeant Itamaresi was held over an extended period of time because of Eric Holder's gun walking. And that was the Mexican's president way of saying, F you. F you. But CBS reporter Cheryl Atkinson Eric Holder was asked under oath when he learned about Fast and Furious, and he responded that he first heard about the operation in May of 2011. But CBS reporter Cheryl Atkinson, so this is not CBS's doing, this is her doing because they got rid of her. They told her to tone it down, and she says, I'm telling the truth. And they said, you're telling the truth, you're fired. She found documentation proving that Holder was briefed on Operation Fast and Furious back in the summer of 2010. And she published the story on CBS, and that's when attacks started. DOJ, a public affairs director, Tracy Schmaler, worked relentlessly to bury the story. She wrote to her counterpart, Eric Schultz, I am calling Cheryl's editor and reaching out to CBS, Bob Schieffer. She's out of control. Yeah, how's that, huh? Wow. Do you see what this means? The Department of Justice actively coordinated with the White House to pressure a news agency to silence a reporter. Every new revelation proves Eric Holder's guilt. There's a reason why he stepped down. I hope it's not because there's going to be a lot of bloodshed and he doesn't want his name attached to it. He has promised to resign as soon as the Senate chooses his replacement, but I refuse to allow this criminal to retire with honor and benefits. We can't celebrate until this man is behind bars. And now we have plenty of proof. We have concrete evidence that high-level bureaucrats in both the Department of Justice and the White House were collaborating to stop an independent journalist from revealing the truth. Eric Holder, one of the things that you may not be aware of, and the reason I'm saying this is because I'm thinking in the Supreme Court, and Obama wants to get rid of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and replace her with a more pliable communist, and she just had a stent operation. She's up there in years, and I wish her a recovery. I know she was the head of the AOL, the ACLU, and she did a lot of damage to the Constitution, but not the damage that Obama's pick to replace her will do. So I'll take Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the communist, over a more aggressive communist. The idea is that should tyranny ever take over the media, would be free to identify it and broadcast it to the country. Cheryl Atkinson was reporting the truth. She realized Eric Holder lied under oath, and she was targeted because of it. But now we know the fact that the Department of Injustice and the White House were conspiring, and there's two peas in a pod, they say, right? Holder and Obama. The question is, how many other stories have they stopped from being published? How many other careers has Eric Holder ruined to protect his own behind? One is far too many, and that's all the evidence that we need. So, go get them. And you want to hear the summons? Should we serve him a summons?
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?
Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you rip the husk of death should your life attract your scare? Will you let
and to such as this unseen, and admit to what I mean in you and you in me. Will you love the you?
Judge Greenlight's lawsuit against guest worker program expanded by executive amnesty. So there's somebody trying to throw a monkey wrench in Obama's game plan. And here's a comment from a guy named William R. And we the people just stand and watch the parade go by and have no floats in said parade. It's really a pitiful reflection on we the people. I really fail to believe that political actions will stop this administration. The military can and should protect our country from all enemies and foreign and domestic. I'm not worried about the foreign anymore. They're not nearly as dangerous. How's that? Let's see what else we got going here. Let me see. Michael Brown's mother smears Darren Wilson. How would you like to have had Darren's job that day? Why is there only one cop in a cop car? That's asking for trouble. NAACP president burned this B down, not a call for violence. So the president of NAACP said it's not a call for violence. That's his stepfather who did that. They're all coming in for the handouts, man. They're coming in for the lawsuit. It's going to be a big lawsuit. And the municipality's going to pay through the nose. And everybody's real estate taxes are going to go up. Yeah. Unbelievable. Want to hear about growing up without a cell phone? If you're 30 or older, you might think this is hilarious. When I was a kid, adults used to bore me to tears with their tedious diatribes about how hard things were when they were growing up, what with walking 25 miles to school and every morning, uphill, barefoot, both ways, yada, yada, yada. And I remember promising myself when I grew up there would be no way in hell I was going to lay a bunch of crap like that on my kids about how hard I had it and how easy they got it. But now I'm over the ripe old age of 30. I can't help but look around and notice the youth of today. You got it so easy. I mean, compared to my childhood, you live in a damn utopia. And I hate to say it, but you kids today, you don't know how good you got it. And a lot of Americans don't know how good they have it. And you know what? We don't have it that good because we could have it better. We could have it better. We just got to get to keep the money we're making. And cut the government size down by 80%. Taxes, 80%. Government size, 80% less. We don't need an EPA to go out and put farmers out of business. That is not good business. I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. If we wanted to know something, we had to go to the damn library and look it up ourselves in the card catalog. There was no email. We had actually had to write somebody a letter with a pen. And then you had to walk all the way across the street and put it in a mailbox. And it would take a week to get there. Stamps were 10 cents. I remember when they were three. Child Protective Services didn't care if our parents beat us. As a matter of fact, the parents of all my friends also had permission to kick our ass. No one was safe. There were no MP3s or Napsters or iTunes. If you wanted to steal music, you had to hitchhike to the record store and shoplift it yourself. Or you had to wait around all day to tape it off the radio, and the DJ would usually talk over the beginning and screw it all up. There were no CD players. We had tape decks in our car. We'd play our favorite tape and eject it when it was finished. And when the tape would come undone, rendering it useless. Cause, hey, that's how we rolled, baby. Dig? It is sad. I got some cassettes that I want to copy to MP3s, and I know I got one shot at it because once it comes off the end of the roll, the glue is all dry powder, and that's the end of it. You can't, that's it. Kiss a goodbye. There weren't any freaking cell phones either. If you left the house, you just didn't make a damn call or receive one. You actually had to be out of touch with your friends. Oh, my God. Think of the horror. Not being in touch with someone 24/7. And then there's texting. Yeah, right. Please. You kids have no idea how annoying you are. And we didn't have fancy caller ID either. When the phone rang, you had no idea who it was. It could be your school, your parents, your boss, your bookie, your drug dealer, the collection agent. You just didn't know. You had to pick it up and take your chances, mister. We didn't have any fancy PlayStation or Xbox video games with a high-resolution 3D graphics. We had Atari 2600. This guy's... He's cracking me up here. All we had was the inner roll of the toilet paper, and that was called a saluda. We used to make believe it was a bugle. Yeah, we made linoleum guns. You know what a linoleum gun is? You take a stickball bat. You know what a stickball bat is? It's a broom. You cut the end off. And then the linoleum gun, you put a nail at the end of the stickball bat, and then you get about 10 rubber bands, and you hook them all together. And then you get a clothespin, and you put the clothespin on the top of the stickball bat in the rear. And then you take some more rubber bands, and you put it around the clothespin so it stays in and holds on the bat. And then you got a piece of linoleum. You cut them into little stamp-sized squares, and then you would pull back the rubber band into the clothespin, put in your piece of linoleum, and that was your linoleum gun. And if you could get an orange crate from the supermarket, you could build a racing car. Yeah. One basketball lasted a whole neighborhood. We didn't have one Spalding. That's it, man. We didn't have any fancy PlayStations or Xboxes. We had Atari 2600. And we had a cheese box, and you cut little holes in it. You cut little squares in the bottom of the cheese box, all along the bottom of the cheese box, little spaces. And then guys would bring their marbles out, and they'd try and get them in the cheese box. Yeah. And the girls had jacks. They played with jacks. Not jack, jacks. Yeah. And when you were told to come home when the lights came on, you had to use a little book called the TV Guide to find what was on. No remotes. I remember no channel changes. No channel changes. In my book, The Spirit of America Party, there's a story of a father and a son that lived on the ground floor on 189th Street in Manhattan. And the son was at work and the father was sleeping. And all of a sudden, he heard somebody in his son's room, and he went charging in, and he caught a burglar, and he wrestled the burglar to the ground, and then he tied him up, and he waited for his son to come home. And when his son came home, he said, "Look, we caught a burglar." And they said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Let's make him a slave." So they made him a slave. And one of the things the slave had to do, he had to change the channel on the TV because there was no remotes. And he got away after 30 days, but he was doing all the washes. And as a matter of fact, they were brokenhearted when he escaped. And they used to leave the window open, hoping he would return. That's a true story. And our parents told us to stay outside and play. See, this guy's saying the same thing all day long. Yeah, we're afraid that the grandchildren are going to not get enough exercise. So that's a little story there. Have you been pressing buttons to speak English? Well, they're changing it now. English is no longer number one. And when you press number one, you get Pico Pico.
Dico parli, dico dico parla, non tu sei via, non t'ho più che se non là. Chi passa par ici, chi va passer par là, comme il est bon, non t'ho possibile de gala. Quoi fait d'un sombrero, le qui se viene à plat, et son cheval, il se promène à petit pas. C'est un moustache en flore, il serait de gomita, il fait rêver tous les chibons de la lambla. On dit tout quand c'est son grand frère et ses corsaires, qui faisait la traite de noir à Buenos Aires. Et patati et patata dans la maison, il habita tout le gratin de la cala et des filas. Dico dico de belle unique légataire, c'est son magot de son cheval et de ses terres. Il peut garder devant chaque son sombrero. C'est un vrai cavalero, tico tico. Tico tico par ci, tico tico par là. Dans tout ce pays, on n'entend plus que ce nom-là. Si passe par ici, si va passer par là. Comme il est beau dans son costume de gala. Pompé des sombreros, les cuites bien à plat. Et son cheval, il se promène à petit pas. C'est un moustache en flanc, lui fait de gomina. Qui fait rêver tous les jupons de la rambla.
I'm looking at a little boy, young boy. He's probably about 10 years old. He's sitting on a blanket outside a tent, and there's snow on the ground. He's got another blanket. He's got a hood on, like a hoodie on, and he's got another blanket over his head. And the caption is, "Mother is so cold." Do you remember when we allowed Saddam Hussein to keep his helicopters? And he used them against, I think it was the Kurds. Boy, the Kurds really take a beating, right? And he used the helicopters against the Kurds until we eventually had to declare a no-fly zone. They're showing this kid, now he's got no coat, he's just got a woolen shirt on, pair of pants, and he's standing, he's got his hands, you know, when your hands are cold, you pull them up into the sleeve of your shirt, you know, to get a little warmth, and that's what he's doing. And then there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it's 5 children with their mother. 2, 4, 5. And they show you the rain and the snow. It's snow, heavy snow. And they're coming out of the tent. They get to get some fresh air. And these are Christians that are trapped between ISIS and everybody else that wants to hurt them. And hundreds of thousands of people were forced out of their homes because they were Christian. Now they're herded into refugee camps in northern Iraq in the bitter cold mountains. And those are bitter cold mountains. "Mother, it's so cold," complains a child in a refugee camp covered with only a thin blanket. Displaced Christians survived the Islamic State. Now they face winter. protected only by the thin canvas of a shelter tent. And they're lucky they have that. A blanket, a coat, some food, and medicine can make a world of difference. This holiday season, remember those who have lost everything for our faith. Oh, this is a Catholic, Catholic Online. Let's see if there's a... Yeah, Catholic Online. So if you want to make a donation, just Google Catholic Online. See if they say anything here would help now. It's really sad, man. And here you got guys in Ferguson looting the stores. You know, the joke was, why did it take them so long to attack the stores? They were waiting for them to restock. Really sad. Okay. Catholic Voice Foundation. That's what you got to Google. Catholic Voice Foundation. And you can, when you find them on a website, you can contact them. Let's see what it says for contact us. Come on, contact us, contact us. Yeah, they want an email. You can send them an email message. You got to go to their website, then it goes automatically. Catholic Voice Foundation. So, having said that, I'm going to play you now the Democrat Communist Party National Fight Song. And Jimmy from Brooklyn about Tiny Tim, and we were joking about him, and all of a sudden Jimmy says, you know what, he's very patriotic, and apparently he stood up for our country on one of the talk shows when somebody was knocking it. So we've promoted Tiny Tim to a colonel. Radical leftists in the United States, Europe, and Latin America have adopted Antonio Gramsci's methods and have made a point of infiltrating churches, universities, and media outlets, ecumenical movements, and peace and justice commissions have grown and have marginalized basic Catholic doctrine. University curricula teach that all cultures must be equally respected, even the ones that directly contradict Christian values. In the name of human rights, secular humanist organizations have promoted policies that have eliminated Judeo-Christian moral restraints. Liberation theology based on Marxist doctrines and cloaked in Christian vocabulary become a force in many third world nations, though it retreated somewhat after the fall of the Soviet Union. It remains the basic social template among radicals. Malachi Martin observed that liberation theology was a perfectly faithful exercise of Gramsci's principles. So where am I here? It stripped any attachment to Christian transcendence. It locked both the individual and his culture in the close embrace of a goal that was totally imminent, the class struggle for socio-political liberation. Today, Catholics are witnessing the effects of Gramsci's anything-goes strategy. In Europe, Catholic churches are empty on Sundays. Fewer than 10% of baptized Catholics attend Mass. In 2009, 37.4% of all European children were born out of wedlock, up from 17.4% in 1990. The number of births is significantly below the replacement rate. In 50 years, the majority of the populations in the heart of old Catholic Europe, Italy, France, and Spain, may well be Muslim. Crime is also rampant. Between 2002 and 2008, violent crime rose in France by 15%, in Italy by 38%. Pope Benedict XVI has wisely warned that the replacement of the Western Christian roots with moral relativism has ushered in a confused ideology of liberty that leads to a dogmatism that is proving ever more hostile to real liberty, because Gramsci's heirs have developed a culture that, in a manner hitherto unknown to mankind, excludes God from public awareness. The Holy Father fears that the West may be entering a new dark age in which man exists solely for the benefit of a divinized state that will be stripped of it, of its God-given human dignity. That's the author of that, is an editor of that, is George Marlin, of the quotable of Fulton Sheen. Communism is very strong. Don't believe the fact that when the war came down, that communism went to bed. No, they got wide awake, and we went to bed. And one day we're going to pay for our neglect of liberty by losing it. So, what does Ted Cruz say? A presidential temper tantrum is not a rational response. I like Cruz. I think we're going to need a general. I think we're going to be up to our ass in war. And everybody says it can't happen. Never can happen. Happens all the time. You just got to go down and see if there's any DNA dust left from the World Trade Center. Nine words. That is all Ted Cruz needed to dismantle liberals on the issue of immigration. While speaking on the Kelly File show on Fox, the Texas senator called out Obama on his latest executive action and stated, "A presidential temper tantrum is not a rational response." The hilarious description drew many comments on Twitter. "Mr. Cruz, you are an American hero. Please do not give up. I am tired of these lies from the Dems." The Democratic Party is now the Communist Party, and the Democrat, if you're a God and country Democrat, you better get out of that party, because it's the party of death, and death means death to the country and its inhabitants. "When we have an unqualified leader, tantrums is all he has," commented another. Cruz also pointed out that Obama's unconstitutional use of executive orders over the will of the people is a key moment that will define the next several years. And Geraldo was on saying he had every right. It's part of the law. Geraldo, he was defending the illegal immigrants. But Geraldo, under the guidance of his master, Fidel Castro, wanted to return little Ilian Gonzalez back to Fidel Castro. saying a boy belongs with his father, and his father got off the plane with all kinds of drugs to load the kid up with, and he, at the top of the stairwell of the aircraft, he gave America the finger. This is a moment of testing, said the senator. The president is behaving in an unprecedented way. Yeah, it's my way or the highway. That is why he's a leader, strong yet eloquent and to the point, without all the excuses, backtracks, just what it is. Makes it easy to know what is coming at the country when being told the truth. So that's a girl named Catherine praising Cruz. Will you please stop talking and start the Obama hearings for treason and other crimes? We no longer can afford fancy words and speeches. Do you know what the gun to the head of the American people is if we find out this president's a traitor and selling us out? We'll give you a race war you'll never forget. And they're going to, and the rhinos will run for cover. If you think that Ferguson is any, wait till you see an entire country lit up. Yep, that's why everybody's buying guns. Please, Senator Cruz, make a citizen's arrest of this on high treason. Dereliction of duty, just to start with charges backed by the Congress. He could be charged with abandoning the battlefield in Benghazi. He was the commander-in-chief. He showed cowardice in the face of the enemy. He could get the firing squad for that. So, that's a little more, a few more comments. We're going to give you a little... I got to perk you up a little bit. Here's Los Rumberos, amigo. Rocket Ted Nugent doesn't pull any punches. Just after violence erupted in the streets of Ferguson, Uncle Ted brought the truth on his Facebook page. And here's what he said. This is Ted Nugent. Here's the lessons from Ferguson, America. Don't let your kids grow up to be thugs who think they can steal, assault, and attack cops as a way of life and badge of dishonor. Don't preach your racist BS, no justice, no peace, as blabbered by Obama's racist czar, Al Not-So-Sharpton, and their Klansmen. When a cop tells you to get out of the middle of the street, obey him, and don't attack him, as brainwashed by the gangster a-holes you hang with and look up to. It's that simple, unless you have no brains, no soul, and no sense of decency whatsoever. And don't claim that Black Lives Matter when you ignore the millions you were bought and slaughtered each and every day by other blacks. Those of us with a soul do indeed believe Black Lives Matter, as all lives matter. So quit killing each other, you effing idiots, and drive safely. These are some valid points. Michael Brown's parents bear responsibility for raising a child that didn't see anything wrong with taking what he wanted from a convenience store, assaulting a clerk, and then attacking a police officer. He didn't get that way on his own. Parenting, or lack thereof, is why Brown had no respect for the law and didn't care about the consequences of his actions. He was brought up to be a sociopath. That, more than anything, is why he is dead. And then some people commented. Some good guy named Mark said, some good comments by Ted, hard to argue with the points he brought up. Another person posted a link to a story about Mr. Brown's mother being a thug in her own right and being arrested. She is a rat, too. Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown were both thugs and were involved in the black gang culture that we often see in Chicago and other cities. They make up 75% of the crime in this country, but according to the race baiters, the Sharptons, Jacksons, Holden, by the way, the Jackson family is in jail, aren't they? Isn't Jesse's son a congressman? He's in jail, and so is his wife. What was that all about? Jackson's, Holder, and Obama. It's not their fault. It's always the fault of somebody else or something that happened 150 to 200 years ago. The major thing that all of the failures in the black community have in common is the Democrat Party, the party of victimization, welfare, Obama phones, and food stamps. I got to tell you something. We're taking in 5 million illegal aliens. We're going to have to do away with food stamps. We can't afford it. Everybody's got to go get a job. Now, if you can't get a job, you know what you do? Go with one of these new citizens appointed by Obama. Follow him. He'll show you where the jobs are. Obama phones and food stamps. The best example is Detroit, Chicago, Oakland, and L.A. Every election, the blacks vote for the same political party because of the same failed promises from the Democrat political machine, the NAACP, ACORN, the Black Panthers, and the race baiters with the unions, and all of the victimization grabbed their votes. Then 2 years or 4 years or 6 years later, nothing has changed, but the failed political machine gets bigger and richer, while the blacks in communities all over the country remain the same, jobless, uneducated, and helpless. When you mention self-responsibility, pull your pants up, educate yourself, learn to read, articulate yourself better, stop making babies to unwed mothers. You are called racist. You are called a racist if you are told that you just do not understand what it is to be black. Now the first black president is bringing in thousands of illegals. Well, guess what? If you have a tough time finding a job now, just wait and believe me. Obama will allocate millions to corporations to get those jobs for Hispanics. Now we are all the victims of the government. No pipeline that would open up thousands of jobs, just more rules and regulations, higher prices, and more taxes. Well, good luck, suckers. We're all in the same boat, buddy. We're all suckers because we're letting it happen. Ted is basically correct. The problem began in the Brown household. Totally dysfunctional and acute lack of relationship with Jesus Christ. Live by stupidity, die by stupidity. It's a no-brainer. And God bless Officer Wilson and his family. They're going to need a bunch of support and compassion. Eric Holder will raise his snake head to spit venom in the face of that cop. And here's a guy that says, this is James, when you think, then you're thinking incorrectly. When you punch a police officer in the face twice and then start to walk off, then turn around and charge him once again, you get killed. And quit calling this 300-pound thug a kid. Yeah, I know, the child. They call him a child. Yeah, that is total BS. He was huge. The cop is 6'4", and he stated that Brown was much bigger than him. He wasn't a kid. He was a thug. that had committed a strong arm robbery to steal a box of Swisher sweets so that he could pack his marijuana into them and smoke it. He was swaggering down the middle of the street looking for trouble, which he found. He then attacked a sworn police officer doing his job. No cop should be alone in a car. I'm going to say it over and over again. Always two cops in a car. You can't pull a car over to the side of the road in the middle of the night and walk up and not know what you're walking into. And you're by yourself, and you can't even reach for your gun until you have reasonable suspicion. Yeah, two cops in a car. If you're a complete idiot, and you are a complete idiot if you believe that it was reasonable for the police officer to shoot him in the leg, you watch way too much BS TV shows. I'm sure that you would think that if he had a gun, that cop should have shot it out of his hand. You're incredibly ignorant in what occurs in real life or death struggle. And if you had been a police officer that day, you would be dead now. Good for you, Ted. Maybe somebody will tell these, this is from Lance, tell these people that the way they got to the U.S. was that the elders of the villages sold their people to be slavers for blankets and beads. Wow. And they blame us. That is true. The stronger African tribes enslaved weaker African tribes, sometimes by getting them drunk and partying, and then when they were totally helpless, chaining them up. I will not call them African Americans. As far as I know, they're all born here. So if you want to be, let them all go back there. Okay, you know that one. They're in play. The communists are play. They're the most pliable. They're the easiest to rile up and control. And if you look behind all of these demonstrations, you will find a white communist. You will find a white communist playing a black communist who's playing his people. In New York, I didn't see any black guys demonstrating. It was all white communists. Yep. Okay. So, divide the nation. This is the way to do it. And I feel sorry for it. I had a situation. I had to liquidate my business, and there was an auction, and it was a heartbreaker because I got nothing for the goods that I had, and I had guys coming in trying to rip me off, and two black guys, they were brothers, came in, and they were looking for metal. They were going to the junkyards. They were going to take shelving and anything that was metal they wanted to buy. And one was a Seventh-day Adventist. And the other guy, he was like the black sheep of the family, big, heavy-set guy, much like this guy that tried to kill a cop. And they were the most honest guys in the whole place. I had guys pulling all kinds of schemes, stealing stuff. And these two guys, the heavyset guy, the Seventh-day Adventist, wouldn't work on his holy day. You know, he wanted the shelving, and he says, I'll come back for it. I can't come back tomorrow. It's my holy day. So his brother, who wasn't that religious, he was working. As a matter of fact, he told me that when he was bringing stuff that he was buying out to the car, to the truck, that one of the white guys approached him to steal stuff for him. How's that? So this guy, he would say, you know, I don't have the money to pay you right now, but I'd like to see if we could work out something, and I'll take whatever you got, and I'll take it to the scrapyard. And I'll split it with you, whatever we get. I said, sure, go ahead. So he took maybe $500 worth of stuff. And he said, I'm going to bring it back, the money back to you tonight. I don't even want to hold it overnight. The guy was so conscientious. And his brother, the two of them, put the rest of all of the white guys to shame. And so, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. They were two great guys. I'm sorry I missed them at the end of my business as Sojourn. But anyway, that's just a little insight. And those who divide us will destroy us. And Obama is not trying to do good for the brothers. He's playing the brothers. And he's playing the American people. And he never tells the truth. He doesn't know about true love ways.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay.
Quiet, boys. Hey, Charlie.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and and I know true love ways. Throughout the day, our true love ways will bring us joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why just you and I know true love ways.
That Obama ordered the police and the National Guard to stand down. And if you noticed that nobody interviewed the owners of those stores, not one store owner was interviewed. They don't want you to meet them. And I remember a black girl standing outside I think it was the nail salon, and said, "Please, please don't burn my store down. I need the job. I need to make money. I got rent to pay. I got food bills to pay. Please don't burn my store down." All right, now there's a sister. Did anybody listen to that sister? No. I would like to interview her. How do you feel? My first question would be, are you covered by insurance? And I bet you the answer is no. They canceled. They canceled me last month. Here's what Cole Jordan says. "I've been saying this for more than 5 years now. Obama Nation wants to destroy this nation and enslave its people. He has systematically created chaos, division, and promoted social unrest ever since he took office by deception and subterfuge. He is a communist plant backed by both Russian and Arab interests. And speaking of Arab interest, the oil is $73 a barrel. If you take the jihad tax off of that, that'll be around $50. And why should we be buying oil from terrorists when we can be buying it from our own land? I guess the only time many of our stupid, moronic, demonic, rat, and Republican leaders will believe this fact is when they see Russian tanks in Washington, D.C. They won't believe it then. They'll think it's a parade. According to what I know thus far, many of our elected representatives in Washington, D.C. know the truth, and they should be arrested and shot as traitors to the American people. I got to tell you this. You need three rules to take this country back. One, an 80% reduction in government size and taxes. Two, the only lobby can be in a hotel. Three, the largest champagne contribution that anyone can make, be it GE or Hewlett Packard or Joe the Plumber, is $1. We don't need to send $2 billion to thieves and crooks to turn around and give it to the TV people who run the ads in favor of the Democrats. So you take those three rules, you got your country back. And no taxes, city, state, or federal, over 40 hours a week. If a guy is working more than 40 hours a week, he's entitled to all of the money. That's our show for tonight. We're going to say sayonara. And we're going to close with Trickle Trickle.